Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit and entirely true. And so we pray that that same Holy Spirit would come to us now and open our hearts and our minds to receive your word and to turn to Jesus, repenting of our sins and trusting in him completely. So be with us, we pray, in his name. Amen. Who are you and where do you come from? That's the first question we ask when we meet new people. We're all the product of our family background. In my case, the Jenkins family have lived in the same village in South Wales since 1770, where they've run a pottery. It's the oldest working pottery in Wales. And it gives me great pleasure to come from this heritage. Some things are good about it. Some things are bad. There's much Christianity in my heritage. There is much Freemasonry, good things and bad things. Who are you and where do you come from? Maybe you can't answer that question. Perhaps your parents never talked to you about your heritage. But there is something we can know, which Becca was talking about in the children's talk. We come from Adam. And that's a very mixed blessing. But we can also be part of Jesus' family. And that's what we all need. A bit of context. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome. He's never been there, but he wants to work with them in the spread of the gospel to Spain. And he introduces himself and his message. The bad news in chapters 1 to 3 is that we're all sinful. We're all part of sinful humanity. And a holy God will punish the sin of humanity. But now, he says, a righteousness has been made known. Chapter 3, verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. We're all part of sinful humanity. But if we will believe in Jesus, we will be given righteousness, cleanness, purity as a gift. And this means we may be right with God and know that we're going to heaven. Abraham is the great example of this. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Righteousness was given to him as a gift. And he is an example to us in chapter 4. Therefore, we are justified. Justification is a legal term. It means declared innocent. If we belong to Jesus, we are justified. We have peace with God. We're no longer rebels, traitors against God the King. Therefore, we come to chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. And I want to explain this passage using the headings in the NIV version of the Bible. Death through Adam, verses 12 to 14, and life through Christ in verses 14 to 21. So firstly then, death through Adam, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people, because all sinned. Who are you, and where do you come from? You come from Adam. And in that short sentence, millennia of misery is summed up. What Paul is saying is that Adam is our representative. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? David was Israel's representative. Goliath was the representative of the Philistines. If David won, the Israelites won the battle. If Goliath won, the Philistines won. And you probably know the story. David killed Goliath as the representative of the Israelites. And therefore, the Israelites won. In the same way, Adam was our representative. When Adam sinned, we sinned. When Adam fell under the judgment of God, we fell under the judgment of God. You remember the story? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. It was a paradise. And God said, they may eat of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden, except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they ate from this tree, they would die. But Adam and Eve listened to Satan, who comes to them as a serpent. The serpent undermines God's word. They eat of the forbidden fruit. They rebel against God. They refuse to have God as their king. They insist that they are their own king and that they make up the rules, which of course is what we all do. Therefore, sin entered the world. There was no sin before Adam. And death entered the world through Adam. There was no death before Adam. And there is no escape from this. In this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Until Jesus returns, the world will need people like me. People who take funerals. The world will need people like my grandfather, people who dig graves. Go where you will find a cemetery. There are no exceptions. In this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Now, how is it possible for primitive people to sin before God gave the law? God gave the law through Moses. Well, verse 13, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. You can't break a law where there is no law. But Paul has already shown in chapter 2, verse 12, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. We sin by breaking the law of our conscience. We all have an innate sense of right and wrong. So although it is true that you cannot break a law that doesn't exist, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command. Everyone died, even before Moses, before the law. After Adam, all people were sinful, and that led to death. In the last month, a 15-year-old girl in my daughter's school died unexpectedly. What a shock that was. Happily, she was a Christian. She's in heaven. In the same week, a 41-year-old school friend of mine died. What a shock that was. Her mother found her dead. She'd had a brain hemorrhage. Verse 14, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. And death still reigns over those who reject Christ. We will all die. But there is hope. And that brings us to our second point. Life through Christ. The end of verse 14. Have a look at that. Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come. All of us are represented by Adam in sin and death, but he is a pattern of a second Adam, who is Jesus. And we are represented by Jesus in righteousness and life. Verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. The trespass was Adam and Eve's sin. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia stories, was at a conference where some learned theologians were discussing different religions. The question was asked, is there anything distinct about Christianity? Lewis was out of the room. There was a raging debate. He came into the room and said, what's all the rumpus about? We're trying to work out if there's anything distinctive about Christianity. Lewis said, oh, that's easy. Grace. All other religions tell us what we must do to get to heaven. Live a better life. Be more religious. Christianity says, There's nothing we can do to get to heaven. But everything has been done. It's been done by Jesus. Jesus has done everything necessary to get us to heaven. Heaven is a gift of God's grace. Verse 15b. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Because Jesus died on the cross and paid there for all our sin, grace overflows to us. Grace means God loving us and blessing us overwhelmingly, even though we don't deserve it one little bit. Grace overflows along with the gift of righteousness, the gift of cleanness, the gift of relationship with God, the gift of heaven. All of this is available through Jesus. And there's no comparison between what Adam achieved by his sin and what Jesus achieved by his obedience. Verse 16, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. There's no comparison. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. That's true for every one of us. Unless we're trusting in Jesus, we will stand before God as our judge, and we will hear him say, condemned. Condemned to hell. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Justification. Declared innocent. You know the way to remember the word justification? Just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's how you remember justification, declared innocent. And this is the Christian hope. Verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Receive God's abundant provision. Receive grace. Receive righteousness. And something amazing happens. You reign in life through Christ. This is a rich Bible theme. Jesus is the King. And when we become Christians, we are included in him. Bernard tells the story of a patient of his who was dying and who became a Christian. And Bernard said to her that the Bible represented Jesus. And Bernard wrote her name on a piece of paper. And he put the paper, inside the Bible. According to the Bible, we are in Christ. We are hidden in Christ. So what is true of Jesus is now true of us. We have his righteousness, his perfection, and we share in his reign. He is the king. We are in him. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2 verse 6. So Paul can say here, we reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So Satan is trying to get me to sin. His demons are trying to get me to sin. But I have authority over him. I have the authority of Christ. I can tell Satan where to go. I reign in life through Christ. The problem is that every time I sin, I choose to give the authority back to Satan. I mustn't do that. I must say, thank you, Lord, I reign in life through Christ. Help me now to be like him. And thank you, Lord, that one day Christ will return and the battle will be over. When Christ returns, we will reign with him and there will be no more opposition. Satan and his followers will be thrown into hell. And we will rule the new heavens and the new earth. Consequently, verse 18, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. All people. You are invited this morning. You are invited to leave the despair of Adam and come into the hope and life of Jesus Christ. This is for all people. Why will you refuse it? Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Take heart from this. Are you standing for Christ at home, at work, at school, in your street? Does it seem hard? Well, remember this. Many will be made righteous. Many. Not a few. Many. It is worth it. Think of your ministry in the church, youth work, children's work, women's work, men's work, retired people's work, holiday club. Through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Revelation 7:9. The many will be made righteous. Verse 20, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. Once the law came, there was no excuse. The law said, do not steal. There it was in black and white. The law said, do not commit adultery. we have no excuse. The law increases trespassing. The very fact of being told not to steal makes us want to steal. Everyone who now commits adultery can see in black and white that God says this is wrong. But, verse 20, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. What a wonderful verse. Sin had just increased and increased. Every law of God has been broken. And in the West, in the 21st century, things are getting worse and worse. God is now a joke. His law is forgotten. And an entire culture stands under the judgment of God. But grace increased all the more. Because of Jesus, because he has died on the cross, because he's taken all our sin on himself and paid there the full price of our sin, grace increases and increases. There is plenty of grace to go around. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life, the fountain art. Freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. So wrote Charles Wesley. Where I was lost in sin, grace increased. And I was included in Christ. And you were included in Christ. And you may be included in Christ today. God's grace can increase to include you. You can be forgiven. You can know that you're going to heaven. Verse 21, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Perhaps this morning you came in and sin and death reigned in your life. You are a sinner. You have disobeyed a holy God. You stand under his wrath. You will go to hell. Sin reigns in death. But you may come under the reign of grace this morning. Come. Come into the kingdom of grace. Come and be made righteous. Come and receive eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the 1970s, the Rubens painting in King's College, Cambridge was defaced. Someone scratched on it, IRA. The painting was removed. And a sign was put up which said, it is believed that this masterpiece can be restored to its original condition. That's what I've been trying to say this morning. We are created in the image of God. We are a masterpiece. But the image is defaced. The image is marred by sin. And without Christ, there is no hope for us. But it is believed that this masterpiece can be restored to its original condition. We're born in Adam. We're born in sin. We can be born again in Christ, born again in righteousness, born again for a new life with God, loving Him, pleasing Him, going to heaven. This can be yours today. Let's pray. Moment of silence for us all to make our own personal response to God. What is God saying to you? What do you need to say to Him? Father, hear the prayers of your people. Where we are in Adam, make us now in Christ, yours for all eternity, loved beyond measure. Thank you, Lord. Amen.